You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Sometimes we're on the fence in our faith. We're on the fence with certain things. Maybe God is telling us, you know, share your testimony with somebody. But yet, we'll be worried if we're going to embarrass ourselves. And then we'll get ourselves pumped up and say, okay, I'm going to share my faith. But then we say, well, I don't know. What if they ask a question I don't know the answer to? And they say, okay, I'm going to do it anyways. I know I'm supposed to do it. And we go back and forth. And so we sit on the fence with our faith sometimes. We know there's something that the Spirit is urging us to do. But yet, at the same time, we're, for whatever reason, delaying, or we're intimidated, or we're fearful to do what we know we need to do. So I want to talk to you about something. Anybody ever been there today? You know, you say, you know I was supposed to do something, but then I was kind of kicking myself later because I couldn't get myself worked up to do what I know I was supposed to do. So this sermon, I've entitled it, Just Do It. So look at somebody in the face and say, just do it. Just do it. So we're going to give you a little bit of the Nike anointing today. Just do it. If you want to go with me in your Bibles to Mark 2, Mark chapter 2. And it says that when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying at was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law were sitting there, thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sin." But Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk'? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And then the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." Amen. The first thing that when I look at this, you know, we see Jesus, he returns to Capernaum, and it's a little fishing village. That's what Capernaum is. And there's about a population of 1,500 people. So everybody starts getting excited. Word starts spreading. Jesus is back in town. Now, when I think about this house that he's staying at, I'm thinking about in my mind like a 2 or 3 bedroom house. And if you could think about the whole village kind of descending upon this 2 to 3 bedroom house, 1,500 people crowded around the house, trying to crowd in the house, out in the front yard of the house, out in the road in front of the front yard, in the next door neighbor's front lawn, messing up the grass, but it's okay because it's Jesus. They're crowded in. There's not a lot of space, but where Jesus is, there is always abundance. All these people and all these healings are happening and all this solution that Jesus bring in, it's overflowing. We talked about overflow. We sang about overflow. Needs are being met. People are crowding in because Jesus has the answers and he has them in abundance. Wherever Jesus is, there is more than enough. Turn to somebody and say, more than enough. I don't know why, as Christians, we get this poverty mentality, like we just need to scrape by. Because the God that I serve and the one that I read about in this book tells me that Jesus is always operating in abundance. Jesus begins to pray over food and it multiplies. There's a shortage of wine at the party. Jesus prays over water and it becomes more wine. There is ample supply wherever Jesus is. And actually, he was such in abundance, he walked in abundance that, you know, the soldiers were fighting over his clothes. Because Jesus didn't just bum around. Jesus lived a life of abundance. So where Jesus is, there is abundance. We see that in this story. And there's more than enough if you have Jesus. We talked about earlier in this series, we've been on this series talking about you can't do it alone. We talked about releasing Jesus into different environments and what happens when we release Jesus among our friends or we release Jesus among our coworkers and see what he does, because he does some of his best miracles out among people. Amen. But where Jesus is, there's more than enough. There's this ever expansive thinking. I've been talking to some of our leaders and talking to some of our members. And we're at two services and we just started Wednesday night service. And that's just powerful and it's going great. But we talked about what happens when we run out of space here. Because inevitably when Jesus is involved, there's abundance. You have to be looking at what happens when space becomes a problem. And that's what happened in Capernaum. Space became an issue. He's in this house and all this ministry is happening. There's such an abundance of ministry that space becomes an issue. How many want a little bit of that on your life? That, you know, space becomes an issue. God's blessing is so strong on your life that you have to, you know, when Jesus, he told the disciples, put the nets on the other side. And there was such an abundance of fish that they had to call for some extra help because they didn't have enough space in their nets. They didn't have enough manpower to bring in the catch. So where Jesus is, there's always abundance. So Jesus is there. He's there in Capernaum. He's in the house. They're crowded. He's praying for people. He's touching people. He's preaching a couple of impromptu sermons. People are everywhere. It's a little house. He's probably maybe at the front door on the front porch preaching. People are in the house, around the house, blocking up the street. But nobody cares because Jesus is there. And everybody can't reach him, though. Some people can only see him vaguely from a distance. And then there's some noise that's coming from the ceiling. People are like, what's going on up there? Jesus is trying to preach. Can you get them to stop messing around up there? And so probably some people looking, trying to figure out, you know, maybe even Jesus, you know, looking up, trying to see what's going on, even though he already knows what's going on. Four guys on the roof digging a hole in the roof. I don't know about you, but if I was the homeowner, I would be upset. I just said I'd host this ministry event. Everything's going great. And then you four dudes, okay, what are you doing? Ripping a hole. There's dirt in my living room. All right. Jesus praying, but y'all need to go back to your house and get your tools and fix this mess. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, sometimes you could snap out of the spirit for a second and be like, hey, you guys, you could have just waited your turn or you could have come out the, you know, but these four guys, when you have tenacious faith, though, you stir up Jesus. When you have tenacious faith, this is the problem oftentimes. We're expecting a miracle. We're desirous of a miracle. We're praying for a miracle, but we have a casual lifestyle. You're not going to stir Jesus up with a casual lifestyle. You've got to have a passion like these four men. Now, I don't even know if they were doing the right thing, but they had already determined in their mind, we're going to see Jesus. We're going to make a connection with Jesus today. And that stirred something in Jesus that in the midst of 1,500 people, Jesus gives these men his undivided attention. Think about that. The actions of these men, other people couldn't reach him, barely see him. Maybe they could barely hear what he's saying in his sermon. But these four men had the audacity to cut a hole in this guy's roof. And something in the tenacity of their faith caught Jesus' attention. And they had Jesus' undivided attention. This is what Jesus is looking for, is tenacious faith in believers. That when he's given you something, he's put something in your heart that you don't give up, that you keep on pressing into what God has told you to do. And you, even if there's some obstacles, even if there's some people in your way, even if you can vaguely see the finish line, you're still pressing with tenacity. I want God to give us that spirit like those four men that they didn't even know if they were doing everything completely correct, but they said, hey, we're going to get to Jesus because we have this something in our heart tells us we need to be doing this. At this point, you know, there's some people in the room that are saying, what is going on? You know, Jesus is here, he's preaching, but now these guys have torn a hole in the guy's roof, you know, and what is Jesus going to do? But Jesus starts talking to the paralyzed man, and immediately some people in the room get religious. You ever try to do something for Jesus and people around you got religious? You know, I don't know how these people get there, but they always find a way into the room. You're trying to do something for the Lord, and somebody is religious. So it seems like Jesus is always doing something good. And then religious people show up and they're trying to throw a wrench in the middle of what he's doing. And this is something that we have to make sure that we are like the four men that were taking a bold step of faith and not the religious people. Because I don't think they started off their life saying, hey, you know what I want to do for a living? I want to be a religious person. You know, that's really my ambition. My calling in life is going to be a religious person. When somebody brings something up spiritual, I'm going to shoot it down with something religious. I'm going to give something spiritual sounding that just kind of blocks them. No, I don't think these men intended to be religious, but they ended up that way. A lot of times we look and we say, oh, this is what religious looks like, or that looks what religious looks like. But the truth of the matter is, we have traditions and habits that we have in our life that sometimes we stick closer to the habits than we stick to seeking God in that season. And so we become religious in an area. And so maybe you're listening to the story today and you're saying, yeah, I want to be like those four men, but you don't realize there's some areas of your life you're like the religious person in the room. We have moments that we have to look at ourselves and say, man, I want to make sure I'm that person with tenacious faith. If I falter, I want to be because some error of tenacious faith, not because instead I was acting religious. I don't know if you've ever been there when you're trying to get your act together and take that bold step of faith. And there was just somebody that their counsel was just so religious. You know, I needed somebody to encourage me and give me that pep talk to do that spiritual thing. And instead, you get the religious person. Can I tell you this? Don't be religious, be ready. There was a delineation between these four men and these religious men. The four men were ready. They were ready for whatever. They were down for whatever. The religious people, but then there were people that were religious. Don't be religious, be ready. Far too often we get religious, just like these men, and we are out of position for what God wants to do. These men were out of position for the miracle that God wanted to do. You know, sometimes when we get too steeped in tradition, we can be out of position for the miracle that God wants to do, or the blessing that God wants to pour out in our life. Why? Because we were too focused on the way God moved in the past. That's what these men were. They say religious teachers, the teachers of religious law, were the people that were aware of the way that God moved in the past. There's nothing wrong with being aware of how God moved in the past, as long as you understand that he might move completely different in the future. And so we have to be ever seeking him in the now. And we're ready. Like these four men, we're ready. I'm ready for what God. I might not have everything in order. I might not have all my ducks in a row, but I'm ready for what God has. I was sharing with some of our student leaders last night, and I love it. Love youth ministry. But I was telling them, when I was a youth pastor, I said, we didn't know everything there was to know. There was a lot of stuff we didn't know, but we stepped out with tenacious faith. And the thing that I found about tenacious faith is you go out there, like these four men, I don't know. I can't tell you definitively today if it was the right thing for them to rip that roof off that man's house. I don't know if it was right for them to vandalize the man's house. But I will tell you that there is grace when you move forward with tenacious faith. When you get out in the unknown, that's where the grace of God exists. You see, the grace of God isn't when you're religious sitting on some traditional stump on the log and you haven't moved and you haven't tried to do what God has called you to do. The grace is for the Abrahams that when God says, go to a place I'll show you, you don't stop and say, well, can you show me first? But we say, you know what? I'm ready to make a bold jump. So today, maybe you're like David, your prayers don't fit in the box, or you're like Gideon, you're underestimated and under-equipped. Maybe you're like Moses and you get angry and say some stuff you shouldn't say. But God can still use you if you're ready. God can work with you along the way if you're ready. God used some disciples that they weren't perfect, but they were ready. Jesus comes to these men. And they're doing their fishermen, they're doing their occupation, they're doing their careers. And he says, come follow me, I'll teach you to be fishers of men. And they immediately laid down their nets and followed him. Immediately laid down their nets and followed him. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. We got to be ready to do what God gives us to do. We got to be ready to share our testimony. Amen? Because your testimony might open the door for someone else's testimony. You know, one of the greatest things that the enemy can do in our lives is to get us to not share the good things that God has done for us. I was talking to one of our members, and we were talking about testifying. You know, I think a lot of times the modern church has lost the power of testimony. We're so quick to get in the church and get back out of the church and get a Happy Meal, Sunday situation. And we miss that testimony portion, which is I'm standing up and I'm saying what God has done for me, or I'm out in the world and I'm saying this is what God has done for me, or I'm among coworkers, I'm saying this is how Jesus transformed my life and how he can transform your life. So 2 Timothy 4:2, be ready in season and out season. Look at somebody and say, be ready. Sometimes we're not ready because we have too many questions. Jesus says to the religious people in the room, he says, why do you question this in your hearts? I think this is the problem sometimes as believers is instead of obeying the command, we question the command. Instead of moving forward in obedience, we turn it into a question. When we take a command of God and turn it into a question, we're being religious instead of obedient. I think of what it must have took Abraham to leave everything that he knew behind, leave his father's house, pack up all of his belongings, because God didn't give him the full picture. He just said, go. Sometimes God tells us, just go. I think about this man. He said, pick up your mat and go. Well, go do what? Pick up your mat and go. Somewhere in the walking out of your testimony, you will find the whole picture. But we miss it. We miss the miracle. We miss our purpose when we start asking questions instead of moving forward with bold faith. There will be plenty of time to ask questions when you're on the road. So what Jesus said to the man, pick up your mat, go. Pick up your testimony and go. What could I say to you today? I think it's imperative in this season that you pick up your testimony and go. Wherever God is sending you, even if you're not clear about exactly where he's sending you, or what the final outcome looks like, if you can pick up your mat and go, take that testimony. Being a Christian is not complicated, but it's hard work. We try to complicate it, but it's not complicated. Actually, the Apostle Paul said, I hold this one thing against you. You've destroyed the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, being a Christian, is not complicated. It's hard work. It's hard work to go from the old way to taking on the new man that Christ has for us. It's hard work to overcome shyness or fear of rejection and be able to share that testimony. If I tell you that you can talk to someone and share your faith, it would be better for us as believers to trip over our tongue in obedience than to be eloquent in disobedience. It's not difficult. It's not complicated to be a good witness. It's difficult, but it's not complicated. I think we overthink things. But being a good Christian is hard work. Old habits, disciplining the flesh. The Holy Spirit is partnering with us, but it's hard work at times. Why do we stop and pause? I think sometimes, like the religious guys in the room, we understand we have an assignment. We understand we have a calling. We have a purpose that God has given us. But we feel like we need to have all the answers before we launch out. Sometimes faith is shown best when we don't have all the answers. If you have all the answers, then it's not faith. It's a rational decision. But you see, without faith, you can't please God. If you knew that next week you were going to get at X day, at X time, you were going to have $100,000, then it wouldn't be faith. It would be rationalization. It would be a decision that I made because I've reasoned it. But God wants us to trust in Him. You can't trust when you know all the answers. God wants us to take a step of faith towards Him. Be tenacious. What can I say to you this week? Challenge you. Lay down some of the questions that you have and pick up a resolution to be more bold in your obedience. Sometimes we're on the fence about stuff that we know God has told us to do. We're sitting on a dream that God has given us, or God has told us to share our faith with a coworker, a friend, a family member. Maybe we got rejected one time before, and so we're making up reasons why we're not going to do it this time. But we know there's something that's speaking to us, and we're sitting on the fence. Would you bow your heads with me today? Jesus, in the midst of all of these religious people in the room, in the middle of all this faith, in the middle of all this roof vandalism, and He reaches down and He heals this paralyzed man. He tells him, grab your mat and get moving. Grab your mat and get moving. Isn't that a message to us today? Jesus has done so much, touched us, blessed us, transformed us. Now He's saying, take up your mat and get moving. I believe as believers, we have a part to play in sharing the good news with others around us. I think it's imperative that we get off the fence and we go on the offense. I was sharing with our student leaders last night that the best defense is a good offense. When you stay on the offense and you continue to pick up your mat and get on the move, guess what? There's less attacks when you're on the offense, when you continue to push forward. So I just want to pray for you today. Because I feel like, you know, maybe you're on the fence with your spiritual walk, or maybe you're on the fence with something that God has told you to do. You know you're supposed to do it. You know you're supposed to start that job. Or you know you're supposed to minister to that coworker. Or you know you're supposed to do something, but you just lacked the faith. I want to pray for you. If you're on the fence today, just slip your hand up. Amen. 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 If you feel like you've been on the fence, God wants to give you that push today. I'm going to ask one of the prayer team just to come over. Just put their hand on your shoulder and pray with you right now. And I'm going to pray with everybody as well. Father, I thank you, God, for what you're doing, God, in each and every one of our lives. You've got us each on a journey. But sometimes in our journey, we end up on the fence. There's something that we need to do. You've been challenging us in our spirit. You've been challenging us in our hearts. But sometimes we just, for whatever reason, we're on the fence. I pray, God, that you would give us the boldness, each one the boldness that needs boldness today, God. I thank you, Father, for the boldness that came upon the early disciples when the Holy Spirit got on them. Lord, I thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit would get upon each and every person today, God, and give each and every one the boldness that they need to step out in faith. God, I thank you, Father, for the boldness to do what you've called us to do, for the boldness to do, to live how you've called us to live, for the boldness to say the things and share the testimonies that you've called us to share. God, I thank you, Father, for a bold and tenacious faith. Lord, that when you look at us, you see the four men on the roof, not the men inside asking a bunch of questions. God, I thank you for a heart to obey your word. A heart to press forward into destiny. Lord, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.